We are the church. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to take a moment to pray. There was a young man here who left. I believe he's homeless, and he has left the building, and someone is ministering to him right now. So, Father, we just lift up this young man. God, we pray for this lost soul. God, that you will meet with him, Lord, in whatever condition he's in, wherever he's at. Lord, I just thank you that your love surrounds him. Lord, that you bring him to his senses. And Lord, we pray for his salvation. We pray for the saving of his soul today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, that's what it's all about. Amen. To see souls come into the kingdom. People come in here for a purpose. He stayed for a little bit and then he left. But we know that the presence of God is in this house. And once you meet with the presence of God, you're changed. You're changed. So, Father, we thank you for your presence this day. And we thank you, Lord, for all the saints that gathered in today and for those who are listening on the internet. Father God, we just thank you for the teaching of the word and the ministry that goes forth. Lord God, that it will stir us, Lord God, that we are the church. We are your hands, your feet. Lord, that we are to express your love and extend your love, oh God, and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom gives us hope, hope, hope forevermore. And Father, we thank you for it. Bless this word as we talk about stability in changing times. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we had an exciting day yesterday, and Aaron, I had sent you a picture, if you can just pop that up. We had an exciting day yesterday. I was asked to lead a prayer initiative for Quenching Waters Ministries, which oversees the One Church Michiana Collaboratives. And so I was asked to teach and lead a prayer group down in Howard Park. How many of you have ever been over to Howard Park? It's been a long time since I was at Howard Park. Boy, has that changed since I was young. Wow, is that ever nice. So we did a prayer initiative over there yesterday. And the theme that it centered around was from John 17, where Jesus prayed. And he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I give to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now the glory that Jesus Christ has given us is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit which we receive when we are born again by the Spirit of God. That's the glory. Tell someone that's the glory. That Spirit unites us and makes us one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. It takes us all coming together to be made perfect and complete in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So the Father loves us just as much as he loves his Son. So as we gathered together, this is a group of ministers, and we've prayed several times together. They're from Michigan, South Bend, all around. We happen to have 20 people there that day. And this is the prayer team that went with me. And I was they represented us well, church. And so I just wanted them to share a little bit, because what makes a prayer meeting is when everyone comes together and you bring something. God uses each one of us. We have gifts. And when everyone begins to work together, you begin to see the whole picture. And if any of you are interested in praying along with what was prayed, there will be a video posted a little later on. I'll make sure it gets on our Facebook page. Of the prayers that went forth and the different ministers that shared. And so I did ask if they would share with us this morning, and I'm going to ask them to share from this place, because those that will be watching want to hear what they have to say. And so if you can give me a, it's on. All right. Cindy's first, right? No. Angela's first. Sorry. So Angela, and then Elder Sylvia, and then Cindy, and then Pastor Cheryl. And actually, you're supposed to be using this one. Thanks.
So as we were praying, the group repented for spirit of division, and then we prayed for unity. And as we were praying, I suddenly saw a vision of like a gold wave rolling over us. And I felt like the Lord was saying that His glory is going to fall and roll over our territory as we come together as one.
Amen.
This was awesome. There was a gentleman running. He was exercising. And we were all standing around. And all of a sudden, his dog comes running from the riverside. And he just runs. We're all watching this dog. And he just runs right in the middle of us. And we're all watching this dog. He crosses over. And he goes on to an area where there's a lot of grass. And there were a lot of geese. And he just runs towards these geese. And they scatter. And it was just an awesome sight. And what God showed me was the anointing of the Holy Spirit it was saying to us yesterday morning that I am coming. I am coming like a wind, just like that dog. And I am sweeping over the nation. I am sweeping over your areas. I'm sweeping over your country. And the Holy Spirit is showing us as this dog runs towards these geese and they all scatter. I saw the Holy Spirit scatter the enemy. So there's an end to this season.
Yes, amen, Cindy. Thank you, Elder Sylvia.
During this awesome time of intercession, as she said, I had a vision. And in the vision, we were all standing in a circle and with our hand raised. And I believe that represented our oneness with God. And as we were in this circle, we stepped forward. And as we got closer into the circle, we became one. And so the pastor there suggested that we do the activation. And we did. We had our hands raised, walking toward the circle. He said, take three steps. And on the third step, I physically felt that we went into the new level.
Cindy, Pastor Cheryl.
Yesterday was powerful. It was very powerful. As we were praying, I could see that the water was flowing continuously, nonstop. And I was spirit led by the Lord that me as a black woman was to share salt with Karen, a white woman, to bring unity. And so what we ended up doing was we had multicultural, generational, and men and women, and we all came together and shared salt, and we put it into the water. And what that was for was to bring unity to diversity. And that water was flowing and flowing and flowing all around Michiana area into Michigan, which would continue on. And that, I truly believe, was the beginning of bringing unity to diversity in this area.
Amen. Take it. What the Lord had told me when I was preparing was to take salt and to take oil. And so salt represents us. We're the salt of the earth. We are the preserving agent in this world right now. And salt is used for purification. And so as we prayed and I shared some teaching on it, one of the pastors was talking about a Jewish man that had brought him salt when he moved into the neighborhood. Brought him some salt, some wine, and some bread. And he said he gave him the bread so that he'll never be hungry. He brought him the wine so that he'll enjoy life and be joyful. And he brought him the salt because the salt represents the preserving power of God. And he put, he took salt and he threw it to the right, to the left, and he threw it over his head. And the pastor said, "You just made the sign of a cross." And so we all did that with our salt. And so it was interesting. I didn't have all of the pieces, but when the Lord said, "Take salt," I'm like, "Okay, I'll take salt." And so we knew enough to get it in everybody's hand, do a little teaching on it, and then boom, the Holy Spirit takes over. And then God gave Cheryl that revelation of coming together of the different races and generations to put our salt into the river. And so praise God, it was a powerful time. And when we gather in His name, He's always here. And He's in our midst this morning. And we're going to get into our lesson. If we don't get through all of it, we can pick it up next week. Stability in changing times. How many of you have noticed that there are some things changing quickly around us? We've been in a season where things change so quickly, it kind of unstabilizes you. You know, first you hear one thing, then you hear another. And what we realize is politicians cannot control this. Scientists cannot control it, and neither can education. We are in a series of changes, and it seems like everything is falling apart. The world is falling apart around us, but we know in the midst of all of that, God is still in charge. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And so we're going to take a look at some scriptures today. And first of all, we're going to find that the scripture identifies clearly the present age that we are living in. The Bible is very relevant. It's a living book. And it very much describes what's going on. Biblical signs of the time. Let's go to Luke 17. 26 through 30. And since I have some long passages this morning, I'll just go ahead and read them. Just follow along, please. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." What was going on in the days of Noah and Lot? Well, we're not going to turn to the passages, but if you study this in the scripture, you'll find out, number one, the human race was infiltrated by or from the kingdom of Satan by evil angels. Angels came down and married the daughters of men. And that's a whole nother story. But Satan had infiltrated into the human race. And every thought of man's heart was evil continually, the Bible says. And three, the earth was filled with violence. And four, there was blatant, aggressive sexual perversion. All of these were common in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, and the Bible says it will be the same way when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, returns. Now, if you notice, there was a lot of materialism going on. They were eating, drinking, buying and selling, planning and building. And I believe they were so deeply immersed in materialism and in their busy lives that they didn't hear the message. They didn't recognize that God was going to bring judgment on the earth. He destroyed everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah, except for Lot and his children that came out. And he destroyed everyone in the days of Noah when the flood came upon the earth. And people have a hard time relating God to destroying mankind. But when God brings a judgment against mankind, we see it over and over again in the scripture that he gives people opportunity. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But there comes a time when the judgment comes, when the time is full, when the fullness of time comes, that we're going to see judgment come upon the earth. So the disciples had asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And in Matthew 24:8, let's read this together. It's a shorter passage. Let's read it together. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are bringing the beginning of birth pains. Wars and rumors of wars, and nations rising up against nations. The word nation is actually ethos, and it's where we get ethnic from in our English language. So it's actually ethnic groups rising up against ethnic groups. And we see that in America, groups that are rising up against one another and at each other's throats. And we see that all across the world. And Jesus was talking about all of these things must come. These things are the suffering and the birthing pains that are coming forth. And what are we birthing? We are birthing the kingdom of God. We are labor. We're in labor, church. We are in labor. We see all these things going on around us. And our place is to be in prayer and intercession. It is an intercession that Christians are able to pray and birth things into the earth realm. That might be a new teaching to some of you, but how many of you know you've birthed something into the spirit realm? From the spirit to the earth. All right, do you see all these witnesses? If you've never heard of this before, you see hands waving, just ask them. Ask them. They'd love to tell you, because anyone that's been in labor, hey, we love to tell you what happened and what came forth. Hallelujah. That's how we all got here, right? That's how our mamas got us all here. So it goes on in verse 9 and 11. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations. Why? For my name's sake. So, Christians, if you think everyone's going to like you, what's the word say? Hey, we want everyone to love us, right? We're loving people. We mean no harm, right? But that's not how it works. And then many will be offended and betray one another. They'll call the authorities. You don't have your mask on. Hello. You're in trouble. And we'll hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And these false prophets are not prophets that are prophesying in the church. These false prophets are what you hear on the media. These are the false prophets. They're speaking contrary to what God's will is. And they're bombarding the airwaves to convince people. But you know, when you have the mind of Christ, You're not easily deceived. Because they're constantly speaking forth deception. And we've got to know what God's word says about the signs of the time. All of these things are happening for a purpose. And the end of the world will not come until God says so. Verses 12 through 14, let's read this together. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What brings the end? The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to all the world is going to be what brings Jesus Christ. The end of the world. And so what the scripture says, is telling us, is that we need endurance. He who endures to the end shall be saved. The word endurance in the Greek means to stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear trials, have fortitude, persevere, and suffer. Now, this isn't a message that gets a amen, hallelujah, yes. But it's the word of God. And so what I see is the church right now, as we are praying and travailing and crying out to God for the souls in this nation, for the soul of this nation, that we're building endurance. And you know what? Bishop Hammond, last week, he shared with us that what we're seeing going on in the earth right now is child's play compared to what is coming. And I thought, Bishop, that is not what we wanted to hear. He who endures to the end. So God gives us the endurance. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be concerned that we're going to be too weak to stand. If we ask God to help us stand, to do what's right, we're going to. Tell your neighbor you're going to. And so in the midst of all of this, there are more Christians praying. There are more churches coming together. There are churches uniting all across the world. And I don't know if you were able to get on the church Facebook page, but Sean, who has a prayer movement that I've talked about before, he was in Portland, Oregon last night. Crowds of people worshiping God in the park, down by the river, people getting baptized, leading souls to Jesus Christ, and taking back the territory that the enemy has stolen in Portland. Thank you, Lord. We pray for him. He's been several places, and the movement, it's like the Jesus People movement. It just keeps growing, and people are coming together to pray over and cleanse territories where there's been riots and looting and protesting going on, not peaceful protesting. But he's in there, and there's other ministers in there. And on Zoom, we have prayer on Zoom. We've been praying. The scripture says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into the harvest. Laborers to get out there and go. You may not be able to go, but Sean can and his team can, and there's other teams that are going. And so we pray for those people that God is rallying in this hour to get into the streets. We want to see the power of God. Elder Sylvia, you want to come up and share testimonies. You said there were some healings at Courtside this week. So grab that microphone right there.
I started going with Pastor Leonard here in Elkhart. I started going with Pastor Leonard here in Elkhart. And We saw a lot of healings, and we saw a lot of the people being accepting the Lord. Well, because of this season that we're in, the court side had stepped back, and now they've started Goshen. So for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe, I've been going to the court site there in Goshen, and we have seen people accept the Lord. We have seen people healed. There was a woman that came, and she was limping, and we saw her coming, crossing the street onto the sidewalk, and she was kind of limping, and so we asked her if we could pray for her, and she said, well, yes, but when I come out of the courthouse, then, you know. So after she came out, the gentleman and I that are standing outside, we prayed for her. And he said, take some steps. And sure enough, she took some steps. And then he led her to Christ. And so we see that. We're there on Mondays, and we're there on Wednesdays, and we're there on Friday mornings. And next week, they will start having court. And if you don't know what courtside is, it's a team that goes out, and we stand outside the courthouse, and we pray for people as they come in or as they go out. And we ask them very kindly, with lots of grace, we ask them, would you like prayer? And some people just kind of turn around and say, no, I don't need prayer. And some people will stop and say yes. And we've had a lot of people be healed, and we've had a lot of people come to the Lord. On Wednesday, we had 15 people. Friday morning, we had 7, but we had several healings. There was a gentleman, a lady was struggling with her shoulder, and she came down there, and she was going to go in the court. So we asked her if she wanted prayer. At first, you know, people hesitate, especially if you don't understand the power of prayer. And then we asked her, we prayed for her. And then I had a sense that the Lord was showing me that it wasn't just the shoulder. It was more down to the shoulder blade. And so after we prayed for her, then we asked her to raise her arm. She started raising her arm. Well, when she came up to us, she was wearing her arm in a sling. When she walked away, she took the sling off, and she's swinging her arm up in the air, and she's saying, thank you, thank
Amen.
You.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Elder Sylvia. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in the streets. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go on and look at another scripture that identifies the times that we're in. It's something that the scripture says that we can be certain of. We can know this is right. Let's read it together. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. There are 18 moral and ethical defects that will identify perilous times. in the last days. This is the characteristic of last days. Now, this is a heart issue. These are all heart issues. They're moral and ethical issues. The government cannot legislate moral and ethical problems and cause people to change. God had the Ten Commandments and people did not change. You see, so we're looking for help in the wrong place if we're looking to the government. God is the only one that can change the hearts of men. The scripture is what teaches us about morals and ethics. Perilous times, the word means, gives the idea of reducing your strength. It is difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce, grievous, hard to bear times. Now, this word for perilous is used only one other time in the New Testament, and it is when the disciples or Jesus encountered two demon-possessed men that came running out of the tombs, and the scripture says they were fierce and no one could get by them. Perilous times. They are all defects of human nature. And it is only through the saving grace of Jesus Christ that our nature is changed. We receive a divine nature when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ does a spiritual work on the inside of us. We cannot change ourselves. That's why we needed Jesus Christ to come and to die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. For our sins. He didn't have any sin. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. So that we would have a way to come to the Father. But if you narrow down this list of 18, I think you can put it into like three categories. Lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. Lovers of self will break up relationships. It'll break up marriages. Politics are dominated by different pressure groups, political groups, putting pressure on them. Their objective is their own self. They're not looking at the benefit of America or what the group, the whole, looks like in America. No, it's all about them. You see, when it becomes all about you, you'll destroy so many things. Parents will leave their children because they want to live their life. They decide they don't want to take responsibility for children, and they'll walk out the door. It's that self-love. It's the love of money. And the love of pleasure. And what happens is all of those break down the family structure. And if you break down the family structure, then society breaks down. And when society breaks down, we have anarchy. And anarchy leads to tyranny, dictatorship. When everything is broken down, there will be some spirit that comes and moves in with a political agenda to take over. Looks like they have all the answers. Wake up, America. Wake up. Be faithful in your families. Be faithful in your relationships. Be loyal. The body of Christ. Salt represents a salt covenant between friends. It meant that we would be loyal to one another. that we have each other's back. And the worst dictatorship that is to come is the Antichrist spirit. We're not going to go on that trail. But knowing that there's corruption in the world, and corruption can't be stopped. When we buy a piece of fruit, we want to keep it, right? You get a peach, a banana, you want to keep it fresh. You put it in the refrigerator to slow down the corruption, but eventually that fruit corrupts. And see, this world is in a state of corruption. It is decaying. We are the salt of the earth. We are what is preserving it right now. We're salt and we are light. And we want to do our job, what God has assigned us to with all of our heart. We want to be the church, to be His hands and His feet, because God brings stability into other people's lives by the faith that you have in God. You can bring peace in the midst of the storm just by being around you. So we're going to take a look at some things we can do. The first thing, to gain stability in changing times, A, is take charge of your thought life. Do not let your thoughts run wild. And be careful of what you allow to come in. What you're listening to, what you're watching. First Peter, let's read it together. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the resurrection of Jesus, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the short version of that, the JKC, that's Janet Kathleen Cook version, would be keep your thoughts in check and pay attention. Have you ever told your children, pay attention, concentrate on what you're doing? And that's what God is saying to us today. When we gird up the loins of our mind, that means all of our mental capacities are girded up. We're like, we've got this. They're not wandering out here, wandering out there. We're girding them up. We're gathering the strength that is within us by the Spirit of God. You've got to gather it sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? You've got to gather it. Because your mind will start to go this way. I've told myself, Janet, you're not thinking about that. I've said it out loud. Nope. Janet, you're not thinking about that. And you have to just cut that thing off. And don't let that thought stay with you. Because that thought leads to another thought, leads to another thought. You know, and an hour later, you've just wasted an hour. On what? Exactly. It's mental energy. And you only have so much mental energy a day. You know that? You only have so much physical energy. You only have so much mental energy. And pretty soon it just feels like your brain is like, okay, my brain needs a rest. B, let's read it together. Take hold of the unchanging reality of God. Stability does not mean lack of change, but moving with God in every circumstance. So things are constantly changing, but God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's read Isaiah together, 48. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And Mark 13:31, Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. So we have a changing world. Things are changing around us. But I thought it was interesting. I was looking at some statistics from the 1900s. The average life expectancy in the United States was 47 in the early 1900s. Today, the average expectancy is almost 79 years. And the common age of death is 85. Look at that. Only 14% of the homes in the United States in the early 1900s had a bathtub. Women washed their hair once a month. They used eggs and borax. Does anyone remember having eggs put on your head? Yeah, some of you are shaking. I remember my mom mixing up the eggs. She said, oh, it's good for your hair. I'm like, ah! A little kid, you know, you eat eggs. But she mix that up. Make your hair healthy. Maybe that's why mine grows so much. I don't know. Now listen to this. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. And a 3-minute call from Denver to New York City cost $11. Do you remember when we paid for long distance calls? Man, that shows how old we are. Party line. Oh. And there were only 8,000 cars in the U.S. and only 144 miles of paved roads. Now, I checked Google, and right now we have about 2.7 million miles of paved roads. Think about that, only 144 miles. Their average speed limit in most of the cities was 10 miles per hour. Now, one thing that hasn't changed too much, the leading cause of death in the U.S., number one, in the early 1900s, was pneumonia and the flu. Think about that. The second one was tuberculosis. That's under control now. The third one was diarrhea. Yikes. The fourth one was heart disease, and the fifth one was stroke. So some of those statistics haven't changed too much. But one thing that I read that I thought was really interesting, especially in light of all of the debate over medications, right? Well, in the 1900s, get this, marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at corner drug stores. And according to one pharmacist, heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind, regulates the stomach and the bowels, and is in fact a perfect guardian of health. Wow. But I think most of the doctors in the 1900s hadn't gone to school either. So it kind of makes you wonder about the pharmacists, right? And the last one I'll share, because there's a lot of interesting statistics. For all of you Coca-Cola drinkers, Coca-Cola at that time had cocaine in it instead of caffeine. Wow. So we need to grab a hold of the unchanging reality of God, because he's the only thing that never changes, right? Number one, there's three elements of the unchanging reality of God. Number one is the promises of God. And we see God's promise to Joshua that he said, everywhere you place your foot, that he would possess that land. We have a promise. Two, the presence of God. Oh, he's always with us. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is always with us. The children of Israel, when you think about it, when they were traveling in the desert, they had so many things that were changing around them. And when God said it was time to move, they had to pack everything up and get on the move. That included convincing the kids to put their toys away and to put their items away, and we're moving. Everything was changing. But the thing that never changed was that they had the tabernacle with them. And that tabernacle represented the presence of God. And wherever they went in the wilderness, God was with them. And they could visibly see signs of God with the fire and the cloud. The third thing is the principles of God. Thank you, Lord, your principles don't change. You know, I have a hard time keeping up with everything that's changing, medical news, the school system here in Elkhart. They were going to go to school, then they weren't going to go to school, and now they're going to go to school. Just like, okay, Lord help me. It's kind of like you get one side, okay, this is what we're doing, and then it changes. And then it changed back. So kids were happy. Terry's happy. She gets to drive the bus. Yes. So the third thing is the principles of God never change. And this is what the Lord spoke to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. And I believe that's a good word for us today. In the time and season we live in, we need to be strong and very. Tell your neighbor, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So we thank God for his word, for his promises. We may not get it all right, but we have a God that forgives us and adjusts things and keeps us on course. Is that right? We may stray this way, but God is faithful to bring us back. He was faithful to go after the one sheep. Do you remember the one lamb? He went after one lamb. That tells me that was a saved lamb. Because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So if Jesus went after one lamb, that was a lamb that was saved and had gone astray. Do you see that? Yeah. Jesus is always reaching out to us. Many people will give their heart to the Lord, they'll backslide, and then they think God will never forgive them, and they cannot find their way back. They're too bad, they've done too much. But that's not God. He said, wait a minute. I'm leaving the 99. The 99 that are saved, that are walking in my spirit, and I'm going after that one that was pulled astray. You see, that's why it's so important that we gather together. That's why it's so important that we are here today. For the churches that are gathering around this nation, it is so important for the saints of God to be together, because we find strength in unity. We find hope when we hear each other's testimonies. We know that God is working in our lives by the testimony and what is shared when we come in. Aren't you encouraged when you come in? Let's thank the Lord for all the encouragement that he gives us. Thank you, Lord. This is the body of Christ coming together to encourage one another. See, let's go on here. Remind yourself that this world is not your home. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. That's what materialism does. At the expense of our soul. This world is not your home. My mom used to say that all the time. That was always a theme within church as we were growing up. We're just passing through this place. Don't get attached to things, because you're not going to take it with you. You come into the world with nothing, you're going out with nothing. It's not our home. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly. And D is stay focused on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He is our Lord and Savior. Let's read this passage together. I love this verse, these two verses. You ready? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith. He bore our shame. He bore our sins on the cross. There is no shame when we come to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the scripture said those who come to him will never be shamed or ashamed. We come to him because we need help. That's the reality. We cannot make it in this life without Jesus Christ and without the support of one another. Sometimes I just got to call somebody and say, help, I need some prayer. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, I need the body of Christ to be praying for me. And that is the season that we are in, church. It is drawing us closer to God and closer to one another, and we're recognizing how much we need one another and how much we need to encourage one another to stand upon the rock Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a praise. I'm going to ask my brother David if he'll come on forward this morning. I want to close with this scripture, and he's going to close us out this morning, the message part, with a song. But the scripture says, let's read it out loud, Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, I called to the Lord. All right, I've got an extra verse. But let me tell you what it says. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Let's give the Lord a praise. I'm going to get your microphone. Thank you.